All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our second group coaching call for Divine Femme. Beautiful to be here with you. Oh, hang on. I'm just trying to get my lighting nice and bright. Give me a second. I just want that feeling nice and bright before I dive in. Perfect. All righty. As you are joining me, if you are joining me live, hi, Keely. Beautiful to see you. As you're joining me live, say hello to me. Let me know where you are dialing in from. Can you also let me know that you can hear me and see me okay? And pretty sometimes this headset of mine plays up and doesn't work, but I'm guessing that you can hear me. So no one as yet has told me that you can't. So if at any point there's any issues with audio or video, please let me know to make sure that we have a nice clear recording for anyone who can't be here live. Keely's in the UK and you can see me and hear me perfectly. It must be late for you, Keely. Is it late at night there? Thanks for dialing in and joining me. Okay, thank you to everyone for sending through questions. I have some fantastic questions for this call, and they're questions that I know from what I share in the responses, you will all gain value from what's been asked here because they're really valuable and powerful questions. Yep, it's midnight for Keely. That is commitment. I hope you are snuggled up in bed nice and cozy as you're tuning into this. Thank you for being here. Thanks for making the commitment to it. All right, let's just dive in. It looks like people might be joining us at different points through the call, but obviously the recording will be available. So I'm just going to get on into all the questions and because we've got a lot to kind of get through. Let me just fix up my screen here. Okie dokie. Is that an Australian thing, okie dokie? Would you say that people, maybe it's just us that say that. I haven't said that in ages. I don't know where that came from. Okie dokie. All right, so talking about emotions, a question here is what practices can you use to support yourself through emotions, through big emotions like fear, anger, and sadness when they arise? How do you lean into them and experience them in a way that allows you to learn and grow through them? Really powerful question. So the first thing, one of the things I want to mention there, so what prevents us really fully properly processing an emotion, being able to really move through it, clear it, and sort of gain the learnings from it, is usually if we're more caught in the story around the emotion rather than the actual emotion itself. So, you know, when something triggers an emotion in you or something happens, it's very easy for us to get stuck in what happened, to get stuck in the story of what happened, to be analyzing it, and to be actually focusing outwards or get really up in our heads about it. So the first thing you want to be doing when an emotion gets triggered, and maybe you need a bit of time to process what happened, but you want to focus less on what happened and the story around it and more just on the emotion itself. That's one thing I want to mention that really helps with processing emotion. And I think I did say this in a video class, to set up some type of safe space for yourself to go in and explore that emotion and to be identifying it as, yes, an emotion rather than the story. And once you've been able to land on that emotion and uncover it and really see where in your body you're feeling it, this is where I use journaling. And I think journaling can be really supportive for us to unpack our emotions and feelings and gain insight from them. So again, what avoids us getting the lesson and learning in an emotion is when, say, we're in a little bit of victim thinking. We're like, this happened to me. Why did this happen to me? Why did this person do this to me? So we want to, where possible, put that to the side and become just more so curious to the emotion, asking questions like, what is this emotion about for me? What has been triggered in me right now? Is this a wound? Does this feel like this is an emotion I've experienced numerous times before? Does it feel like a core wounding that seems to happen over and over and over again? Is this linked to is this a pattern for me? So these are types of questions that you can be asking yourself, reflecting on, maybe journaling about. Also look at around the emotion, what thoughts or inner stories am I noticing around this emotion? You know, you might feel sadness, but around that sadness is, I don't know, for example, I'm never going to get into a relationship. There's no good men out there. I'm always going to be alone. You know, there's so much about me that makes me unlovable. For example, if you can actually see what inner stories are going on around the emotion, it will give you more insight into what it's actually about for you. So I would be journaling a bit around that. You might also explore, is there memories coming up? Does it feel like this emotion is linked to something from my past? Maybe my recent past, something that happened, or is this like something that happened years and years ago that's brought up an emotion? I'm seeing a few people log on and join me at the moment. Welcome everyone who's dialing in. Say hi to me in the comments. Let me know where you're dialing in from. I'd love to see who's here with me. We're talking at the moment how to lean into emotions and gain the learnings and growth from our emotions, how to really work through them in a kind of empowering way. Sometimes as well, certain emotions are helping to show you a change that needs to happen. So particularly frustration or anger are emotions that can show you where something needs to change, something needs to be done differently because the way things are happening at the moment isn't working. And that's where you can inquire a little bit deeper and be like, oh, what is this trying to show me? Is it trying to show me I have to make a change? I have to do something differently. This isn't working. Emotions can also show us where we're in unhealthy situations and we need to put in boundaries. You know, is there a person that continuously triggers hurt in you? If so, why is that? What is this hurt that's constantly there? Is it that you feel misunderstood, unsupported? Oh, let me just get my lighting coming back in. Sorry, guys. I like it to be nice and bright for our calls. I'm going to keep losing it. That'll be all right. It's got the sun streaming in a little bit as I'm talking. You know, is there a recurring emotion that happens around a person? And again, rather than getting caught in the story, you can inquire to, okay, is this emotion trying to show me that this relationship isn't healthy? Is this emotion trying to show me that I need a boundary? Is this emotion trying to show me that there's a conversation that needs to happen here, that I'm not asking for what I want and need, that I'm not speaking up? So that's where, when you inquire a little further into the emotion, there is information in there for you that will show you, yeah, perhaps things that need to change, things that need to be resolved. Is this a deep core wound for me? And if so, maybe it's something from childhood that needs to be resolved. Let me see if there's anything else that I mentioned here. So that's what I would do, is I would detach a little from the story, go into the feeling, use your journal through some of those questions to unpack it a little bit more, become more curious and really see what it's actually about. And own it as your inner experience. Own that there's something within you that has been triggered because it's something within you that's unresolved and requires some healing work. So again, we detach from the thing that happened and we come back into, this is an emotion that already existed within me. That person didn't create that emotion in me, or that event didn't create that emotion. This is an emotion that was already existing within me that I've simply just become aware of. Interesting. What is this unresolved emotion that's inside of me? What is it trying to tell me? What is it asking me to do? How is it asking me to make a change? What do I need to help resolve this emotion within myself? Yep. And also the other work around our emotions is to, beautiful, Carol's logging in from Adelaide saying she's loving this chat. I'm so glad. Carrera's giving me a little clap hand emoji. The other thing is your personal work around your emotions is also shifting how you relate to them based on whatever your pattern is. So if you have a pattern typically of shutting off to your emotions, then your work is to learn how to open up to them. If you have a pattern of making your emotions wrong, then your work is to actually learn how to make those emotions right and really honor them. If you have a tendency to isolate yourself when you feel emotional, maybe your work is to learn how to reach out to someone and ask for help and talk about it. So there's always that as well around your emotions, to look at what's your general pattern on how you handle them and how can you do something differently around how you relate to your emotions. That's just going to create growth in itself as well. But that's what I do. So I'm trying to think of examples. I mean, I'm constantly having emotions triggered. You know, fear is a beautiful one to inquire into. And people talk about this a lot, but whenever I feel fear, I always dig a little bit deeper and I'm like, what is this really about, Connie? Are you afraid to put yourself out there and be rejected? Are you afraid that you're going to tell that person how you feel and they'll have a negative reaction? Are you afraid that, are you afraid because you're about to make yourself vulnerable? Are you afraid because you're about to take a risk? Are you afraid because you're in the unknown? Like, that's when you can really understand what it's about for you. And in that, I might be like, okay, well, I'm afraid because, yeah, I'm about to step into the unknown. Okay, Connie, what do you need to feel safe and secure in the unknown? How can I support you with that? Maybe I need to get back into my self-care routines because they create a feeling of stability for me, for example. Or if I'm really angry, okay, do I need to go have a conversation? Do I need to ask to get my needs met? Do I need to speak up about a problem that I've been suppressing? Do I need to stop tolerating that thing that's really upsetting me? Yeah, I'm kind of repeating myself here, but I hope you get the gist there's so much we can learn about ourselves through our emotions. Let me see if I can get this fired up again. Just always in the morning here with me, I have some sun coming in and out, and so the light's always doing very strange things, and now I've got light on my eye. All right. This woman's saying, after class two, I realized that I'd very deeply take on board. Oh, sorry, guys. It really irritates me when this happens. I know it probably doesn't bother you, but it bothers me. I take on board the opinions of others and I allow their thoughts to circulate within me, even though they do not serve me, and it often causes me stress, anxiety, and frustration. How do you release the unhelpful interactions with others and let go of things that aren't your truth? Great question. All right, a few things here. If you're taking on board the opinions and thoughts of others, and it's not your own personal truth, right? But it's really impacting you. You're remunerating on it. What's that word? And mulling over it, and it's affecting you. There's a few things you can do. One is, I always use journaling. So you might like to write out in this particular situation, what's my truth? So it's a little subheading, my truth. What do I truly feel? What is my heart telling me? What is my intuition telling me? What is my body telling me? What's my truth here? And then maybe under another subheading or on the other side of the page, it's like, what's everyone else's truth? Whose opinions have I been listening to? What has everyone been telling me? Let me write it out. And it's really valuable. I find anything that you feel confused about, put it on paper. That's why journaling is so great, because you can look at it objectively, put it out on paper in front of you. And if you actually see your truth written very clearly, and then all this other stuff you've taken on from other people, it really gives you a chance to be like, why on earth am I listening to all these other people when I have all the information I need right here? My own inner self has told me. Why is it that I'm taking on board other people's opinions? Is it because I'm questioning and doubting myself? Is it because I don't believe something until someone else validates it, or I don't think it's the right thing to do until someone else tells me it's the right thing to do? There you can learn a little bit about yourself. Keely's saying, really good question. It is a really good question. And the other thing I want to ask you here is, whose opinions primarily are you taking on board? Because there's usually a couple of key people. When we sort of say, I worry what everyone thinks about me, or I take on board everyone's opinions, it's actually, when you drill it down, there's usually a couple of key people. It's usually either a partner, family members, key friends. It's significant people. And I want you to unpack and explore, why is it that you give so much power to these people? Why is it that they are more of an authority over you and your life than you are? It means we have power in these people. And we actually are giving parts of our power away to them, rather than standing in our own power and fully trusting ourselves. Now, we're going to talk in our next class that's coming out next week about self-trust. And the week after that is about living in our power. So this will flow on quite well. So who are these people that you have taken on board their advice from? Something that is a motto that I live by, that I really had to start to live by when I began to get onto my path of wanting to do this work and become more spiritually focused, do self-development work, get into healthy living, etc. I had to become really clear and discerning in whose opinions I took on board, on who I shared my ideas and plans and dreams with, really discerning. And I created this motto, which is only take advice from people who have what you want. Because what I realized is I was doing it a lot. You know, I was wanting to say, make this change in my career and go to set up my own business. And so I would talk to my parents and I would talk to my partner at the time and I would talk to my friends. None of those people had ever set up a business. None of those people had ever gone to follow their heart and take a risk. None of those people were even interested in self-development, spirituality, health. Yet I was looking to them to give me advice on what to do when it was totally not their model of the world, not what they were interested in, not what they believed was possible. And I was taking on board all of their limiting perspectives. So I began to think, okay, if I want to know what the right thing to do is here, I better ask someone who's already walked this path. I better ask someone who actually really is also following their heart and living their dreams and believes in the same things I believe in. So I started to become really protective of myself, my ideas and my dreams and my plans, and really discerning in who I shared them with. And if you can sort of determine, you know, sometimes what happens is, and I don't know if this is your case, but we can be a bit oversharing. I was like that. I'd tell everyone what I wanted to do, and then I'd get back all this mixed feedback because people didn't get it. Versus really check in before you share something if you think this is a good, safe, trusting space, that this person will really hold you in your truth, that they'll be a good listening ear, that they'll give you a good perspective or guidance because either they have what you want or they're someone that really believes in you. And just be really protective of your truth and who you share that with. And sometimes the closest people in our lives aren't the people to share our truth with right away. Sometimes we need to seek out other people like mentors, like a coach, like like-minded friends who can support us in those early days. I don't know if this is about your dreams necessarily. That's just an example I'm kind of sharing around. You know, when I went through my transition of coming out of my day job, I didn't tell my father for months because I knew he just wouldn't get it. He didn't understand working for yourself. He only understood have a good secure job and that's what you need to do. So I didn't talk to him about my plans and dreams for a while. And yeah, that was hard, but I had to protect them and not put them in the hands of people who weren't going to support them. So if the people in your life are giving you their opinions and their advice and it's not supportive, I would sort of say stop sharing so much with them. Maybe just give them little bits and pieces and then either seek out a like-minded community, similar-minded people, a mentor, go to workshops or events where there's other people who believe the same things you believe and who will help you, who will actually give you the advice and the guidance that you really need and that's really going to support you. Carrera said, I've always been someone who needed to talk it out, but I can usually find my answers when I sit down and give myself the space to figure it out through journaling. I agree. When I left my corporate career to teach yoga, everyone thought I was nuts. Thank you, Carrera. That is fantastic. Why is it, and this is a really great point, that we tend to look outside, and this is what I think is going on. We're looking outside to talk it out, to get advice and guidance, when really we could turn to our journal and find that within ourselves. Yeah. So I think that's what the lesson is there. Thank you, Carrera, for pointing that out. And it's because we haven't learned how to trust ourselves in our own guidance enough that we only believe things when other people validate it. And that's something that needs to be worked through. Beautiful. Question. Do you think that the majority of our programming occurs before the age of 7? So do most of our conditions, our illnesses, are they conditioned into us in childhood? Is this question. Hang on a moment. Keely says, I resonate so much. I put myself in positions where I feel like I have to defend my truth because I've overshared it. Yeah, definitely my responsibility with who I share it with. 100%. When I was in my late 20s, all my friends were like my party girlfriends. And they weren't the people, you know, we'd go out and get drunk and I'd start talking about life coaching and they're like, what are you on, Con? Like, what's this life coaching business? Let's just get drunk and have fun. And I overshared it because I wanted to talk about it, but they were not the people to support me with that dream. Yeah, she's like, the what the fuck look you get. They look at you like, okay, Connie, interesting. Sounds great. You're going to do life what? Are you old enough to be a life coach? Who do you think you are to be a life coach? I've heard it all. I've heard every single doubt. So this woman's asking, you know, does a lot of our stuff come from childhood? She's saying, I'm getting a bit of anxiety in certain situations, but when I think about going back to heal my inner child, it's hard for me to really uncover if there's any negative trauma before the age of 7. She's like, I can't get clear on that. I can recall stuff from high school and uni, but not childhood. Should I try to go back and heal the stuff? Really good question. And this is actually perfect timing, this question, because I'm in a process at the moment of doing some deep healing work around some things. And I'm going to share this story because it links in really well to what you're saying. I've had this condition of sleep anxiety for the past 7 years, where there are some nights I can literally not sleep all night because I just go into a complete fight or flight response. And like, it's just massive, like, sleeping issues. Now, this began for me when I was setting up my business. So I always thought, consciously and logically, this particular pattern was linked to the setting up of my business. I've been trying to work on this pattern for years, really, really long time. And last week I started doing hypnotherapy because I was like, I need to try something different. And in this hypnotherapy session, he is taking me into my subconscious and we have been revisiting stuff. And what's crazy is these memories from when I was about 5 are coming up. And he said, he's like, this is the root cause of what's going on for you. Now, logically, I'm like, that doesn't really make sense, because I'm like, this is about sleep and this is about my sleep anxiety. But what we're uncovering is that there's this actual deep feeling of being unsafe and of needing to be in control and of experiencing anxiety around periods of unknown and uncertainty. And it all stems from things I was experiencing when I was 5 years old. Now, logically and consciously, I couldn't have pieced that together. But even though I've done some inner child work, but this practitioner is really helping me to get to the root cause of what's causing this. So from my experience of coaching for the past 7 years, from my trainings as a life coach and from working with other practitioners, I would say yes. I would say pretty much all of our core stuff is programmed in from 0 to 7, 0 to 5, 0 to 7. Now, if something's playing out for you as an adult, yes, it may be, or as a teenager, whenever it is, yes, it may be playing out in a unique way, but if you really, really get to the core of it, it was probably something that was a core experience or core trauma from a young age. Sometimes it can be a little bit older, later childhood, early teens, but I've seen it time and time again with my clients that when you take people back, you'll uncover something from 0 to 5, 0 to 7 that happened. Yes, someone's asked, can you share this practitioner's name? Yeah, he's a guy in Sydney named Tim Thornton, hypnotherapist in the city here in Sydney. I'm going to be seeing him every week for the next 4 or 5 weeks because I'm like, I'm packing some big stuff. So it's not always easy for us to access that stuff from our past. Doing inner child work is useful. So I've done a lot already of going back to my inner child. And the way I begin with it is, you may not have clarity on a trauma or a stressful event or anything that happened. And trauma doesn't mean abuse. Trauma can just mean something stressful that was happening. I know for me, my little sister began having seizures when I was 4 years old. And that was a very stressful event for me. That could be called a trauma that really impacted me and impacted my nervous system. So it doesn't matter what the event was, it's more how it affected you and how you internalized it and how it left you feeling. And sometimes that core emotion that you were feeling as a child is a core emotion that's now running your life still as a 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 year old. It's the same core emotion. So what I would look at here is, yeah, if you know the core emotion is, say, anxiety, reflect a little on what is anxiety about for you. As I kind of said, for me, it's very much about the unknown and uncertainty and feeling like I can't control things and worrying about worst case scenario. That's very much what it's linked to for me. And so you can kind of, you know, hypnotherapy guides you back. We did a lot of regressions. It guides you back through your past, and some coaches and things will do that as well. There's other therapies that do that too. But what you can even do is bring to mind an image of your inner child, of yourself at 5 or 7. It doesn't have to be around a traumatic event. You might just bring that version of yourself onto your lap in a little meditation, and you just sit with her. And maybe just spend some time with her. And then even as you are connecting with her, you might ask her questions around, you know, was she ever anxious? Does she ever remember feeling this way? Is there anything she wants to tell you? You can open up a little dialogue with your inner child, which sometimes can reveal information if you can drop into a little meditation with her. If you can't as yet get to sort of having any clarity on what is some type of root cause, just simply go back to whatever memory you can access, if it was something that happened in high school. And I always feel like our subconscious reveals things to us when we're ready to work through them. And if you can't access something from a younger age, it may be that you're not quite ready to look at it yet, and that's okay. Maybe start with whatever you do have clarity on. So if you know there was a situation that happened in high school that has a really strong emotion linked around it, I would start there. Sit in a little meditation with that version of yourself, 12, 14, however old that person was. Sit opposite that version of yourself and tune into them. Find out how they're feeling. Find out what was going on for them at the time. What did they make it mean about them? What stories did they start to create about themselves as a result of this event? How did they internalize it? Why were they feeling anxious? What created that anxiety for them? Because what I've come to realize as I'm doing all this work at the moment is that my inner child anchored in this emotion of unsafety, uncertainty, fear. But that is manifested through all these different events in my life. I had an experience at age 14 at school where those feelings were playing out in one particular way. Had another event at age 20 where those feelings are playing out. And then at age 29, 30, when I quit my day job to set up my business, where those feelings were playing out. So even if you can just identify one of the places, you're at least beginning to unravel the pattern a little to get some insight on it. And that's where I would start. If it feels too deep with you, for you, go seek out practitioners. I've worked with kinesiologists, crystal healers, Reiki practitioners, psychotherapists. I've worked with EFT. If there's something you want to work on, there's a lot of ways that you can get some support to do it. Carrera, I really didn't think there was anything from childhood, but yesterday when I finished chapter 2, I started to think about it and realized as a little girl, other kids with strong personalities would bully me. That's definitely played out as an adult too, just in different ways, like letting bigger personalities overpower me. Yeah, sometimes the realizations come to you just out of the blue. I had one of them this morning. Out of the blue, suddenly I'm like, whoa, I never realized that. So when you uncover what a little bit of a wound is there, you can tune into that part of yourself and ask them and find out what they need. And my guy actually did this with me. You go back as the adult you are now and you revisit that child. Imagine you could walk into that memory. You could walk into that situation, connect with that version of yourself and find out what they need. What do they need to feel safe? What do they need to know that they're loved and they're whole and there's nothing wrong with them? What do they need from you? Is it reassurance? Is it certain words? Is it a cuddle? What do they need? And so we can go back and support those parts of ourselves in those moments that those traumatic kind of things happened. How to do things that may terrify your inner child but need to get done. Could you give me an example of that one? Just so I can answer that question for you, so I can give you the right answer for that. How to do things that may terrify your inner child but need to be done. Is this something like maybe something that's outside your comfort zone or something that triggers fear? Give me an example and I'll unpack that a little more for you. If you want to share a little bit more. There was something else I was going to say. That's right. The other thing I was going to say is EFT, emotional freedom technique. If you go on YouTube and you Google EFT for anxiety, a whole heap of videos will come up. And I did 2 videos this morning by a guy named Brad Yates. Brad Yates. He's a guy that I've used a lot on YouTube. And oh my gosh, I did 20 minutes of tapping on EFT on anxiety. And you just, it's like this emotional freedom technique. So you tap these certain parts of your face and your body. And it's there, there's certain, you're tapping on certain emotional trigger points and you say certain phrases and it helps shift and unlock blocked emotions. I was actually crying for about an hour this morning before this call because I was having these massive realizations through tapping on this anxiety stuff and I was clearing all this old emotion. And when you unlock the emotion, then the information that's stored in the emotion comes out and then you get the realizations. So if there's something that you want to work on that you can't figure out the cause of it, I would go onto YouTube, find an EFT tapping video on it, and then tap on it every day for a while. And it's a very simple, it's not an invasive procedure. It's just really simple little tapping, saying certain words and affirmations. And it can actually unlock and clear emotion. So I'd look into that. If you guys want me to post the videos I was tapping on this morning, I can do that. Just also to this point, if we're just going to keep it general around if something terrifies your inner child that needs to get done, you know, as children, I think feeling safe and feeling loved are two key massive things. And I think if you don't feel that you are loved or if you don't feel safe, it's going to really hold you back. An example is moving into a new apartment alone instead of roommates or partner. Ooh, yes, that's a really beautiful example. Well, what I like to do here is really tune into what your inner guidance is saying. So your inner guidance might be saying, it's time for this, to take this risk. Go and step into this new apartment and you know this is right for you. Remind yourself why you want to do it, why it's right for you, why it's part of your expansion, why it's what you desire. And let your heart and inner guidance tell you why this is the right thing for you. And then fear gets activated, right? Now, when fear gets activated, I always just teach people to just really witness it and notice it and know that your fear is just trying to keep you safe and protect you because you're stepping into brand new territory and you don't have any proof at the moment perhaps to show you that it's possible, that you're going to be okay, that it's all going to work out. So fear is trying to protect you and it's being like, no, don't do this. We don't know if you're going to be okay. Come back. So we witness it and we're like, okay, thank you, fear. Thank you for trying to protect me. I see that you have my best interests at heart. And if there's an inner child part of that, again, you can do this little visualization where you talk with that part of yourself and you talk to her and you might say, tell me what's scaring you? What are you most afraid of? Talk to me, sweetheart. You know, and you actually, with kids, if you can just hear them out and let them process it, it can really help them heal it, both inner children and children in real life. Hold space for that part of yourself. What are you afraid of? What are you most scared about? And when you have your fears, I then bring my fears back to my inner guidance and I journal them out. And I say, dear, you know, inner guidance, intuition, my heart, my higher self, I'm so afraid that maybe I won't be able to afford it. I'm so afraid that maybe I'm going to be really lonely. I'm so afraid that this isn't going to work. And then from there, I then journal out some loving, supporting words from my inner guidance to help me. Beautiful. So the fears around finances, this woman saying, I saw my parents argue over money as a child. So all of these things, you know, often have risk around them, these types of changes, and there may be fears around the financial repercussions of that. I think with this as a couple of things, I would say one, notice and witness that fear. Ask yourself what you need to feel safe to step into this change. Know that with any type of risk, there's always going to be financial uncertainty. In fact, there's always financial uncertainty. We never really can be 100% certain around those things. I mean, we never really can have 100% certainty anyway in any area. Life can constantly surprise us. But is there anything that you need to set up or that you could set up that would support you to feel more safe and secure? Is this about creating a budget? Is this about having some savings saved up for yourself? Is this about peeling back on your spending? Is this about getting a credit card to support you as a buffer in the meantime? There's, you know, practical things you can do to support yourself financially, but also understanding that I found any time I followed my heart, there's usually some type of financial repercussion or risk. And if I can trust in my heart, my inner guidance enough, I trust and know that I will be supported. Set up a belief system like this. I'm always supported. The money that I need will always arrive. I'm going to be taken care of. Everything's going to be okay. When I follow my heart, the resources that I need will always come to me. Maybe you can write some new belief systems and a new inner story. Yeah, that's the other thing. We need to write a new story around money. And then maybe go read some books on money mindset as well. That stuff can help to really reprogram your mind into an abundance mindset rather than a lack and limitation mindset. All right, I'm getting distracted now, but thank you for your question. All right, I've also, this woman's saying, I've been experiencing a bit of blushing lately. Any tips on how to love and support myself through those moments? I used to experience that a lot in my 20s. I used to be so self-conscious that almost like the minute someone would look at me or talk to me, my face would blush. The minute I was the center of attention, it would happen to me. It doesn't anymore, but I think I began to unpack what was going on around that for me in terms of what feelings were behind it. And often it was a feeling of shame. It was a feeling of a fear of being seen. It was vulnerability and self-consciousness. And one of the things that really helped me with my extreme self-consciousness, and this helped me a lot when I got into being a coach, was to put my focus and attention on other people. So if you're going into a situation where you feel very self-conscious, perhaps, you know, you're blushing, you feel nervous, you feel uncomfortable, whatever it is, can you shift your focus, say, to the person that you're talking to or the person that you want to serve or to learning about someone else? When you actually take your attention off someone, off yourself and put it on someone else, it really reduces self-consciousness. So say you're stepping into a new social situation and you don't know anyone and you feel really nervous and uncomfortable. If you stood there and say all your focus was on yourself, you become quite self-absorbed. We all do this and become really uncomfortable. Versus if your attention was on, I'm going to find someone in the room to go and learn about. I'm going to go talk to them, ask some questions about them, be genuinely curious about getting to know this person and put my focus on them, on getting to know them and learning about them. That would really ease your self-consciousness. I don't know if this is about self-consciousness for you, but that's what used to trigger my blushing feeling when I would be really self-focused. The same with coaching. I used to get so self-conscious during coaching, but I stopped making it about me. I stopped being so self-aware of what was going on for me, and I put all my focus and attention. I used all my senses to tune into the person I wanted to serve and help and be there for. And when I put my focus on them and put my heart into the interaction with them, it really reduced me thinking about myself. Is it that you, are there things you're feeling embarrassed about? And if there is, unpack what your self-talk is around yourself at the moment that's causing you to feel embarrassed, shameful, uncomfortable. You want to actually witness that and then see if you can rewrite some of that self-talk around yourself. And then maybe also ask yourself, where am I needing to love myself more at the moment? What parts of me are needing more love? What parts of myself have I been judging as not being okay or lovable or enough? And how can I show more love and acceptance of those parts of me? Another thing as well is, because mine was sort of about being visible, is be really visible to yourself. So I would do mirror work, sitting in front of a mirror, staring into my own eyes, seeing myself, being comfortable being seen, really seeing and connecting with all parts of me so there was nothing to feel ashamed of, because the more I would sit with myself, connect with myself, see all my flaws, see all of me, I became just naturally more accepting of those parts of myself because I was spending more time connecting with them. And then I felt less shame when other people would come to see and experience those parts of me. So there's a few ideas in there. Question. I can feel myself coming back to me and my most natural state through connecting with my feminine, but I realize I've built up strong feelings around needing to protect this energy because of bad experiences. So although my feminine really feels like me, and I'm sure so many women can relate to this, it also makes me feel exposed, weak, and vulnerable, like I've let my guard down. How can I embody this energy but also feel strong and powerful? Great question. And this ties into what someone else asked as well about heart armor. excuse me. Yeah, this woman had also said that Brené Brown calls it armor, and I had never heard that, but heart armor is a phrase that I often use a lot when I'm working with people, because a lot of us build armor, have armor around our hearts or armor around ourselves. Absolutely. And I've often done it with clients where we do a little visualization and you literally can almost see this energy field you've created around you, this thick wall, these strong barriers that sometimes we're carrying as our defense against the world, right? So a couple of things. There's a few ways to sort of begin unpacking this. Okay, a couple of things are coming to mind. The first thing is, were there particular experiences that you've had through your life where you have actually felt you've been in your feminine and you've been exposed, weak or vulnerable? So is there any experiences from your past that do still need some further healing work, because they were very significant experiences where this was anchored in and this pattern began? So that's where we're revisiting those things and sort of doing that healing work around understanding those situations can be useful. But I think the main thing I want to say here is, let me just find my way to articulate it. What I've noticed through a lot of the people that I've worked with is that there's a lot of us as women who come into the world, I think I said this in our classes, big giant hearts, generous, empathic, sensitive, loving, emotional. We've got this big, beautiful heart energy. And sometimes we have experience, we'll grow up, you know, just being really generous with our heart energy, being generous with our energy in general, and just being ourselves, right? And no one has ever taught us, and it's understandable we were never taught, well, then how do we also protect that energy at the same time? Because it's incredibly valuable and precious. And it's an energy that we just want to give very freely when we're young. But this world isn't necessarily safe. And people do take advantage of that. And people don't have good intentions. And people do overstep boundaries. And people do hurt us. These things happen. And so a lot of us women who are very naturally like this, no one ever taught us how to properly protect our energy. So the only way we could do it was through armor. Was literally through, that's it, I'm shutting down. That's it, I'm putting up a wall. That's it, I'm going to become stoic. That's it, I'm not feeling these emotions. That's it, I'm going to become tough and strong. That's it, I'm going to stay up in my head. So we have to find a way to protect ourselves, but no one teaches us a proper way to do it. So we develop these quite unhealthy, resourceful ways. Because you do at some point, we all have the experience where we're like, oh, whoa, it's not safe for me to be in this energy. So anytime you're going to start to want to unravel that armor or those protective patterns, you're going to feel unsafe because you put them up, you built them to protect you, didn't you? And so it can be a very scary feeling to begin letting down those walls. So what we really need to learn, and I'm actually going to teach it to you in the next class and the class after, that's why I put these next two classes in. Next class is about self-trust and feminine intuition. And the class after that is about your power and your boundaries, I think. And speaking your truth. I could be getting the order wrong, but it's coming up. And this is why. Because now as women, we have to learn new ways to protect ourselves that don't involve shutting down, cutting off the flow of love within us, and living in our masculine. And that for me means, this is what I've come to learn. It means having a relationship to our intuition. I'll tell you why in a second. Self-trust, boundaries, speaking up for yourself, standing up for yourself, and living in your power. Because if we look at it from an energetic perspective, so imagine you've got this giant heart chakra, if you know the chakra system, giant heart chakra, loving, generous, compassionate, sensitive, emotional, say it's giant, right? The only way that you can feel safe in that energy and the thing that that energy needs the most is a rock solid power center. The power center sits below, it's in your solar plexus, sits below the heart chakra, and a good solid throat chakra. This is the energy you will use to step, to express your truth, to communicate, to ask for what you want and need, to advocate for yourself, right? And if that heart energy doesn't have you really speaking up when you need to speak up, and really standing in your power, like it's going to be leaking everywhere. And again, at some point you're going to be like, oh, well, that's it. I have to cut off from my heart energy now to protect myself. No, 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 you don't. You just got to build up these other two energy centers. And then this energy center too, third eye, crown chakra, that allows you to get intuitive guidance. And then your base chakras that allow you to feel anchored and safe on this planet. But the, you know, and I'm not teaching about chakras. I'm using them just as a way to kind of explain the energy centers that we need to be working on. Although the chakra work is useful, but it's not necessarily the way I'm going to teach it. So power center stuff. When we know we have this beautiful feminine heart, we've got to start to see that as a gift. And that can't just be given to everyone or anyone. That is a gift that needs to be protected. And it's up to us to use our intuition. I'll teach this in the next couple of classes, but it's up to us to be using our intuition to always be discerning. Is this a safe place for me to give my heart? Is this a safe place for me to share my truth? Is this a safe environment for me to open up and drop into my feminine? Can this person be trusted? Have I earned their trust yet? Have they proven to me that they are trustworthy? Is this a safe environment for me to drop into my feminine, or should I maybe keep that for another environment where I know I can fully let go? So we actually need to be discerning. Also being in our power where we are implementing boundaries where we need to, making sure we're saying no when someone's overstepping the mark, overtaking from us, being in our power so we're not overgiving and leaking energy everywhere, being discerning around what do I want to give my energy to and what don't I want to give my energy to, the things that I'm giving to, am I also receiving back from? This is all the stuff that living in our power as a woman, and this is why I'm dedicating some classes to it, is so damn important, because we need this to be able to feel safe to go into our feminine and into our emotions and into who we really are. That energy does need protection, but not in the form of being barricaded up. And again, that using this, that when someone, you know, isn't respecting us, isn't honoring us, has overstepped the mark, has taken advantage of us, has hurt us, we are speaking up for ourselves. We're using this to ensure that we are communicating the standards, you know, what we expect, what we need, all of that. And that allows us to feel really safe, because before just going to give our heart energy and our beautiful feminine, before letting that be revealed, we're first determining, is this a good, safe space for me to really let myself go into this energy? And if it's not, it's okay for me to hold this energy within myself for a little bit until I find that place. Beautiful. Haley's saying, I'm doing this with my family at the moment, all the walls, because speaking up when I really need to isn't being received well. Well, it does take time. Sometimes people won't always hear you or fully understand when you're starting to speak up your truth, but still just the act of speaking up is you standing in your power and honoring yourself. So that's a powerful practice, whether or not other people fully get it as yet or not. But it's when we're not doing that, you know, that we can get really hurt. And then we end up shutting down this beautiful, precious, feminine, loving heart within us. That's not how we're supposed to live. There's a sentence that I was going to share it in my next class. I probably will, but I want to share it here now as well. And if anyone's done my women's group coaching program, you would have heard me say this before, but my guidance once said to me, you have broken your own heart so many times through giving it to people before you determined if they could hold it and if you could trust them to hold it. Because, you know, we want love, we want connection so much. And I would do this in relationships. I'd be so generous and so loving. And then some dude would like break my heart and hurt me. And my guidance was like, you're breaking your own heart, Connie, because you're giving it away way too freely before you've determined if that person is a trusting, honest, genuine person who will hold you in your beautiful femininity and your softness and that gorgeous, generous heart of yours. So I learned not to necessarily close up, but to protect through my own self-respect and self-love this beautiful, generous heart, knowing that this is a gift. Getting access to this energy in me is a gift, and you show me before I give it to you that you are someone that can hold this. And that's why I've manifested such a beautiful relationship now, because I really waited to reveal my heart to him until I knew he was going to stick around and he was genuine and he was honest and he was committed. And now I can fully open up and unravel to him because I know I've built a safe container in this relationship. Keely's saying, this is amazing. I think I was putting myself in a position where I was wanting to let down my walls, but then leaving my energy up to other people to react rather than looking after it, hence the vulnerability. Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. Yep. So vulnerability is beautiful, but again, it's something we want to do for ourselves rather than just for other people. And we can do it with other people, but we do want to ensure that it is the right and safe place to be revealing that. And if it's not, you can begin practicing it with yourself at home in your own safe space, letting down those walls, letting yourself be emotional, like falling apart, dancing, getting into your feminine, doing all this delicious stuff. And then when you go out into the world or you're with other people, there'll only be, you know, maybe initially certain places that you can reveal that. But, you know, I now know that I have it in certain friendships. I have it in my relationship. I now have it with my family because it's just taken time to get those relationships to that point where they're solid enough that I can fully be in that energy with them. Okay, beautiful. I think the next couple of classes will be really powerful for you. Question here about play, which is a great one because this came, I obviously just did a class on play if you haven't watched it. And this is a really interesting question. This woman has said, I don't know what play is for me because I had to grow up really fast. How do I even start when I was never exposed to play? She's saying it would be silly for an adult to start playing with kids' toys. True. But interesting, because even in that, you hear judgment. A little bit of, oh, you know, like, not to nitpick the question, but I could feel, you know, we grow up sometimes feeling like it is childish to play or immature in some way. So play, again, and let's just really redefine it, does not have to be linked to toys, does not even have to be linked to anything that feels childlike or childish at all. Playfulness is an energy state. Playfulness, lightheartedness, joy. It's an energy state. It's also sort of a creative, imaginative state, play. And you can experience and bring to and activate that energy in so many different ways. I was even, you know, thinking, what if you set the intention? So when you're cooking a meal, for example, how could you bring more playfulness to the cooking of that meal? I was even thinking when we're talking about sensuality, how could you bring more sensuality to the cooking of that meal? Any energy that you want to feel, you can actually think and explore, how could I bring this energy to whatever I'm doing? So I could make cooking a meal really playful and fun, or I could make cooking a meal sensual and sexy based on whatever energy I bring to it. Or I could make it boring and a chore based on whatever energy I bring to it. So playfulness is sometimes just about how could I bring a little bit more of a playful energy to this? And I know when I cook in a playful way, I have music going, I am sort of dancing as I'm cooking, like I'm wiggling my hips. I'm not following a recipe. I'm just making it up as I go along. I'm getting in there with my hands. I'm making a mess. There's crap everywhere. That for me is cooking in a playful way. Versus if I cook in, say, a sensual way, I might have like a little lacy bra on, wear some high heels, have some like bow bow music going, candlelight, glass of red wine. Exact same activity, but I could make it playful and creative, or I could make it sexy and sensual. See that? How bringing a different energy can change the whole way you experience something. So the reason I'm saying that is because playing is not just about what you're doing. You can bring playfulness to anything. I began exploring playing through painting. I think I gave this example. I would just get a blank canvas and some paint. I'd put on music, I'd put on some funky clothes, like they didn't mind getting paint on. I'd put down a splash sheet and I'd just start throwing paint. And it was literally like this really fun, messy, creative thing for me. And that's play. Play could be, I'm going to sign up to this new course, like a, I don't know, a short course of like nude life drawing or surfing or learning how to cook something or a dancing class, a dance, a salsa class or something. I'm going to sign up to that and then bring like this really playful, lighthearted energy and just go and have some fun and be a beginner and try something new and go and play. So see how you can bring that energy to so many different things. You could walk through nature with a playful energy. You could skip. You could dance. You could pick up little things along the way and smell them. You could go with a friend and make it a really fun, playful activity. There's a lot of ways you can access that energy that don't involve, you know, sort of playing with toys in a childlike way. The other thing I want to say is if your inner child didn't get to experience play, again, that could be an opportunity to reconnect with yourself as a kid and maybe talk to that child and get to know her and ask her, if you did have the chance to play, what would you have liked to do? What would you have liked to do when you were a kid? And maybe she's like, I would have loved to ride my bike more. I would have loved to learn, you know, I would have loved to swim more. I love being in the ocean, or I love riding my bike, or I would have loved to have more chance just to get some pencils and draw and color in. You know, that's why there's now adult coloring books. Have you seen that? But there's a real movement around adult coloring books because it's a mindfulness activity, but it's also, it's creative play for adults. So stuff like that can be really fun too. Funny enough, I once heard my inner child ask me to purchase a doll, which I thought was silly, but I'm feeling different now. Interesting. Keely said, I'm going to buy a paint by numbers canvas. I loved them when I was a child. Yeah, I loved the, you had little sewing things you could buy where it had different color blocks and it would be like, use red here and then you'd sew in it and then you'd sew different sections and it would make a big knitted kind of picture. I don't know if anyone's ever done them. There's actually so many really fun things. You know, you could also do is like go to a kid's store where there's like arts and crafts, you know, and buy a little art and craft kit and make something. Yeah, these things are on Amazon. Yeah, like go buy a little craft kit. I don't know, like, yeah, where you can go make something. Making things with your hands is a really fun, playful thing. And I love that, yeah, that woman's inner child asked her to buy a doll. Like, why not? Why would we judge these things if it's part of just what brings fun and joy to our lives? Yeah. Can you give some examples of how to start feeling safe in our bodies in the world? Yeah, this is a big one. I had to do so much work on this. I've noticed that I'm, hang on, let me just check something. Oh, good. I've noticed that I'm often really disconnected and I often disassociate. So like disassociate from your feelings. Connecting with my body through breath or meditation is hard for me. So, you know, I was talking to a client about this yesterday. It's funny how, say, for example, you know, using your, you know, breathing and meditation or yoga, that they're often the things that we sort of think we should be doing as our starting steps. And maybe I've even recommended them as starting steps. But for some people, they're actually really hard. You know, if you're trying to get into your body and slow down, sometimes sitting to meditate is one of the hardest things you can do. It's really not easy. So I always encourage, if you're finding it difficult to get into your body, I would encourage you to use movement rather than something that involves sitting still. Because sitting still intensifies every experience. And I know if I'm ever, for example, feeling anxious, sitting still in my body is the very last thing I want to do. And so often we're like, oh, I should be meditating, I should be doing this. I would leave some of those practices as a starting point if right now just being in your body is hard, and I would use movement. So that's why, you know, when I was sharing in that, in the bonus class that's up on the bonuses page about a morning movement practice, that has helped me so much with feeling safe in my body and getting into my body. Because as I'm stretching and just moving through maybe some soft dance movements or some yoga poses or just stretching into my body, I'm still getting into my body. I'm still moving through emotions. I'm still moving through what's in there, but it's more experiential. It's more just like I'm with it and I'm moving through it versus I'm sitting and sort of witnessing it and it's really intense. So I find movement is a much better entry point if you need it to get into your body. Walking, dancing, stretching, things like that. Even if you want to sit in meditation, do some type of movement first, because it actually helps, you know, if there's any sort of energy buzzing inside of you that's making you want to disassociate, it actually helps you process that before you sit. So I used to love actually going for a run and then coming back to meditate, because I'd clear off all this excess energy and then I could sit and have this really deep meditation because I'd cleared off all that energy that was like whirring inside of me. EFT again could be a beautiful one. Like I was touching on the emotional freedom technique, could be a really beautiful one to help you work through some of those emotions that are making it feel really hard to be in your body. You know, and I know I mentioned this in the classes, but I find touch. So your first step might be to feel safe in your body is to feel safe touching your body, feeling safe, connecting with your body in that way. So I know I always say it, but for me, it's having a bath helps relax me into my body and get me out of my head. And then coming out of the bath and using some coconut oil just to massage into my legs and my feet and my hips, and touch anchors you in. You know, I said that in one of our classes, touch anchors you in. So if right now focusing on your breath and meditating is just too extreme and it's uncomfortable, I would try a few other things that are more body connection based practices, but don't require so much sort of having to sit in the silence of your own body, if that makes sense. Is there anything else I want to say there? But ultimately, really the only way to break through this stuff is to learn how to actually how to lean into our discomfort. So really the only way to then get comfortable being in the body is to first be comfortable in the body when it's uncomfortable. So if being in your body is an uncomfortable experience for you, as you begin to practice it, it's not going to feel comfortable. But our work is to be able to sit in discomfort and not run away. And I know it's hard, and I'm acknowledging it will be hard. I find that hard too. But the only way you break through emotions and big blocks is it's uncomfortable, but you stay there. And you breathe through it, maybe you play some music and maybe you do some dance through it and maybe you massage yourself through it and you reassure yourself through it. But we've got to learn how to lean into our discomfort. And maybe you set a little timer and you're like, all right, my first practice, maybe you lay in Shavasana on your back, just lie on your back like that full Shavasana surrendered pose. Maybe you set a timer and you're like, okay, my first step is if I can lay here and just breathe into my body for 5 minutes. That's my first practice. And as soon as the timer goes off after 5 minutes, I can get up and that's all I have to do. But maybe that's my first step, is to learn how to be able to just lay here for 5 minutes and breathe into my body. And it's going to be uncomfortable, but I'm just going to stay there anyway. What's interesting for me is through doing this hypnotherapy work, I've uncovered that I still have a massive fear of being in my body, because he was guiding me through my, it's called the induction, when they begin to drop you into your subconscious. And I had a massive reaction and he began to hypnotize me and I felt, so when you get hypnotized, you fall, like your body goes really heavy. You don't go unconscious, but you drop into a deeper state of consciousness. And for me, everything goes very black, which for some reason creates terror in me. Most people find it really relaxing, but I got terrified. And I kept trying to pull out and I kept thinking, I just want to open my eyes. I want to get out of here. And he drops me in, and like my legs were heavy. I could barely feel my legs. I was in this really dark space. I could feel my body. I was like, boom, I've dropped into my subconscious. And he said, how are you feeling? And I said, I'm terrified. And there were tears rolling down my cheeks. And I was like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in here. And I realized I still have a massive fear of really surrendering into my body. So the way I'm working through that is I sign up for five more courses, you know, four or five more sessions with him. And I say, okay, let's keep going then. Keep guiding me in. Let's keep getting in there. Let's keep breaking through the discomfort. Rather than avoiding that now, I'm going to go deeper into it because I know there's more work for me to do here. So you've actually got to go deeper into your discomfort rather than allowing yourself to pull out of it. Yeah. And I kept saying that to him. He was continuing to do these things to take me deeper. And I said to him, I said, I'm going to have a reaction. I might cry. I might squirm. I said, but keep going. Don't stop. Like, keep guiding me in, even if you notice I'm terrified. And that was the only way I was going to break through it. I just had to keep going. Rather than telling my partner, I was talking to him about it. He's like, I'm so glad you didn't get him to stop. And I'm like, I was so close to asking him to stop, but I knew I had to break through this fear. So that's the only way. You got to go through it. All right, almost finished, loves. Final, hope I haven't missed anyone. I'm pretty sure I got everyone's questions. If I've missed any of you, please let me know. Pretty sure I've covered everything. This woman is a similar question around feeling safe. She's saying, my goal is to create a safe, stable, loving, consistent home living situation. And I know I must feel that within myself first before being able to manifest it in my home environment. But I've never felt these things before in relationship to my home. And I'm struggling to cultivate those feelings. You know, this is beautiful because this is exactly what I'm uncovering now through this deeper work that I'm doing, is that I had a fundamental feeling of not being safe as a child in my home because there was a lot of stuff going on in my family. So I relate to that feeling of not feeling fully safe. So look, there's a few ways you can tackle it. Obviously, one, because this is the same woman, the work on feeling safe and at home in your body. So that's one level of your home, is your body. And then we're talking about your external home. So it's both about feeling safe and at home, right? Obviously, any of the work you're doing on coming into your body will support you with then manifesting that through your home environment too. Is there anything actually from a practical perspective in your home environment that doesn't feel safe, that requires action, a conversation, anything like that? I know for me, security in my home environment is like number one. I live by myself and I would just never live on ground floor because I would never sleep. For me, knowing that from a practical perspective, I'm in a very safe home, the door is locked, no one can get in, allows me to feel very safe here. Knowing that there's always money in the bank to pay my rent makes me feel very safe. Knowing that I'm on an extended lease, so nothing will change in my home environment, makes me feel very safe. Knowing that whoever I invite into my home is someone I can trust makes me feel very safe. So just check if there's anything unresolved from a practical perspective that's contributing to this feeling that needs to be resolved or worked on. But okay, I'm getting an insight. There's something about base chakra work for you. I don't know why I'm feeling to talk about chakras so much today. I don't typically teach about it much, but I'm just getting for this woman, base chakra. We work on base chakra, and maybe just Google it. Google base chakra or root chakra, it's called. It's the red chakra that sits right at the bottom of your spine, and it's related to your feelings of belonging, feeling safe in the world, feeling grounded and at home. And feeling part of your tribe, your family, and feeling that all your basic needs will be met. I've had to do so much work on my base chakra over the years, which is very much just related to grounding activities a lot of the time. Ooh. Wow, can you hear that sound? Someone is drilling into concrete above me. I don't know what that is. I'm so sorry, guys. We're going to wrap up soon, so hopefully that doesn't keep going on. Grounding. So get barefoot in nature. Get out amongst nature as much as possible. Grounding. If you're dancing, really dance into your hips. Work on this hip energy. You know, really anchoring down into our lower body is a big part of grounding. So do a lot of leg foot massage, massaging into your hips. If you're sitting somewhere, imagine like there are roots pulling down from your legs or your bottom or your hips, grounding you into the earth. Imagine those roots going down right from you, right into the center of the earth. You need to work on this grounding, anchoring feeling and this feeling of like affirmations like, I belong, It's safe for me to be here. It's safe for me to be in my body. All my needs are met. I'm safe and I'm taken care of. Affirmations like that are really important. Also, the color red is very powerful for base chakra. Put things in red around your home. Imagine the red energy at the base of your spine, that chakra energy, and connect with that every day. Red foods. Also, for some reason, something around your menstrual cycle. I've had a healer once tell me, look, I've never done this, but for those of us that struggle with grounding, to actually put our menstrual blood back into the earth. So if you have your own backyard, this is a very witchy thing to do, but put your menstrual blood in a cup and tip it back into the earth. And that actually helps anchor your DNA into Mother Earth. A healer once told me to do that. Very, very powerful. What else is coming to mind? Those things can really help you feel very grounded and safe and anchored. They're my kind of recommendations at the moment. Yeah, and also just look at any foundations in your life. I find it's all very foundational energy. So just make sure that with everything you're building in your life, you've got good solid foundations. You know, systems, structures, routines. Routine is a beautiful one that can help us feel really safe and structured. So make sure you're setting up some beautiful routines, maybe routines in the morning, routines in the evening, structures to how your days unfold. So that gives that foundation for us sometimes that can help us feel held. All right. I think that's everything, loves. Thank you to everyone for being here. If you're still with me live, give me a little comment. How are you feeling? What was your biggest takeaway from the call today? Have you had any realizations? Let me know where you're at. Great questions. Thank you to everyone for sending them through. Our next call will be a couple of weeks from now, so you can start thinking about what you want me to talk about on the next call as well. And keep going with all of your beautiful coursework. I know there's probably a lot to work through. Wherever you're at in the journey is perfect. Just love and accept yourself for wherever you're at. Beautiful. Someone here said thank you. The biggest takeaway is to lean in. Beautiful. Lean into the discomfort. Lean into the fear. Lean into what the very thing you want to run away from. Keely's saying amazing. Thank you. My pleasure. Beth is saying I'm definitely going to check out EFT. Yeah. I can post in the group the ones I did this morning. It's a very subtle practice that you're kind of like, is anything really happening? But I had a massive emotional release and shift after doing a fair bit of it. So beautiful. Haley's saying thank you. It was beautiful. So many takeaways. I'm so glad. Carrera is saying very inspired. Awesome. Thank you, my loves. Thank you for being here. And have a gorgeous weekend. Have a gorgeous rest of your week. And I'll get this uploaded to our member site very soon. And I will see you all in our next class. I'll see you in our Facebook group. Lots of love. So proud of you all and all of the work that you're doing. You're incredible. Incredible. I'll talk to you all soon. Bye.